This message was recorded at Leeds Vineyard during a Sunday morning service. Please feel free to copy or forward it if helpful. We pray that it may be God's word in season for you today.
I have the great pleasure of being a school teacher in a secondary school over in Pudsey, which is just on the border of Leeds and Bradford. Oh, why are you laughing? I haven't got to the joke yet. Then I realised what I've done in my slides. Now, I do absolutely love my job most of the time. Each day is different and it's a challenge. But one thing I really struggle with my job, or I say I just don't like about it, is whenever I meet someone new, I have a conversation that goes a little bit something like this, okay? It's a new person here, me here, okay? So what do you do? I'm a teacher. Now, at this point, I'm quite proud, I have to say. Despite what Radio 4 said this week, I think that teaching is an important job in our society and is well regarded and respected. Primary or secondary? Secondary. My head rises, knowing that what they're thinking now is, yep, grumpy, grouchy, grunty teenagers. Wow, that must be hard. What do you teach? Now, at this point, I deflate. Knowing that a far more impressive answer would be English, maths, science, history, music, languages, business and media. But in a last-minute attempt to reinforce the importance of my role, I also declare that I oversee Year 9, which is by far the hardest year across secondary schools up and down the country. Oh, what does that involve? Isn't media just watching films? I cannot tell you the amount of times I've had that conversation, usually either in a barber's chair or, as I did yesterday, in fact, at a one-year-old's birthday party. Not with a one-year-old, I guess, I have to say. Are there any media students here? No, you wouldn't miss it even if you were, would you? Now, I would like to, at this point, categorically and publicly declare that media studies is despite the stereotypical belief, is far more complex than the simple watching of films. That said, whenever we do look at stereotypes, which we do in media, there is some truth behind it. I am a massive film and TV fan, and there is actually very little that I like doing in an evening more than sitting in front of the latest Netflix series to unwind. However, there is one thing that scuppers that plan on a regular basis, and that's my ability to fall asleep about 20 to 30 minutes into an hour-long episode. And if I'm prompted by Naomi, my wife, or my own twitching, I usually awake about a minute or 2 minutes to go. Now, that's most hindrance on when we watch crime dramas sometimes, you know, so things like Death in Paradise or Poirot or, you know, Midsummer Murders. Now, the issue here is, in those programs, what I see, and this is the story that I see, is build up to murder, the police arrive, start to investigate the murder, and then somehow the murderer being walked away in handcuffs at the end, as if the detective is either a psychic or implicit on the murder himself. I miss the story. I miss the middle bit, the exciting bit. I hope you know where I'm going with this, perhaps. This is the story of God. We know how the story starts in creation. And we know how the story builds with Israel in the Old Testament and as they learn who God is and what God is trying to do in the world through them. That's where we're up to in the Bible in a Year. We know how the story climaxes in Christ being the suffering servant on the cross, taking our sin away and defeating the work of Satan. We know the first bit about the early church being called and empowered by the Holy Spirit to be the people of God in the world. We have that first bit and we know how it ends. We know the revelation at the end. And it's almost like a new beginning. But what we're missing in the story of the Bible is a very large bit from the new church to the new creation. We're missing that very large bit now. We know how the church started, But we're missing out on all the consequences of how the church, empowered by the crucified and risen Jesus, plays out this story today. In the biblical story, the reason that we're missing that part of the story is because that part of the story is us. And unlike most TV dramas that have an exact script to follow, we find ourselves in one story that's all about improvisation and figuring out how we make our way. Excuse me. We live in a complex world where God's world and the world that we see in the world's story look pretty different. A few weeks back, Alison did a brilliant job explaining how we see God's kingdom come into our world in little pockets. And if you haven't heard that, I really encourage you to go back online and listen to it. And I want to develop that a little bit more this morning and see how we live our lives in a way that enables us to stay in the story. We're going to start by opening our Bibles if the welcome team wants to come around. If you haven't got a Bible to hand, please put your hand up. If you don't possess a Bible in your life, please feel free to take one of these ones that are coming round. But we're going to turn to the book of 2 Corinthians, which is pretty much most of the way through the Bible. So go to halfway and keep going. And in this book of 2 Corinthians, you'll find it's the second letter of Paul's letter to the church in Corinth. And it's all about him explaining his understanding of what it means to follow Christ, but also lead others into that. It's also a brilliant blueprint of what I think it means to stay in the story. And as we read it, I'd like you to listen out for what it is that we're called to do as we look to stay in the story. So we're going to go through from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 to 21. Just give you a second just to find out. So 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 14 to 21. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one with a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this passage and we thank you for the truth that it has for us today. Lord, as we unpack this a little bit more, I would ask that you would just come and speak to us individually. Give us a fresh revelation of what it means to be reconciled through Christ, what it means to be Christ's ambassador. Amen. In these short passages, we find a wonderful model of what it is to stay in the story. Here at Leeds Vineyard, we've for some time identified three themes of what we think it is to follow Jesus and stay in the story. And for many years, this has been somewhat of a strapline for us, and you'd have seen it on the screen this morning. And that is to love God, love people, and put love in action. A number of years ago, David Wallace over there and Kate Newman, who's since gone to lead a church plant in Edinburgh, put together this model as a teaching resource. Now, I can only this morning give you a brief overview of this, but on the website, there are loads and loads of materials which are fantastic. And if you search in the search engine on that website for following Jesus. It will come up with loads of stuff. However, I do have a little handout for you to use. So do take this away. There's some people coming around with the handouts. There's some up on the balcony as well. It's just a great prompt as to, if you're kind of thinking through this after this morning, to as to how kind of the model works. And there's some it goes into a little bit more detail on the back. I believe what we find here in 2 Corinthians follows the strapline, love God, love people, love in action, and gives us some guidance as to how we live in these uncertain times, how we stay in the story. Let's look back at all three. So love God. Within the model we use in this community, love God is largely, or not exclusively, what we do now on a Sunday. But it's also in our personal time. It's also in how we use our finances, our bodies, and how we act with integrity. Here we are focused on our relationship with God. Our Sunday teaching last year on prayer and this year on following the Bible through from start to finish is focused on this. It's focused on our relationship with God. But it could also fall into our worship, whatever guise that might take. The Corinthians passage describes how Christ love compels us. We are called to an intimate relationship with our Creator. And as we look to stay in the story, at the heart of that is our relationship with God. And if we get this wrong, it's impossible to even stay in that story. And this is actually a challenge to us, I think, as adults, because we make it complicated at times. Unnecessarily so, believing that we have to follow a certain model or a certain format of Christianity. However, we need to strip away that complication, strip away the formality, and focus on what it is that's at the heart of our story, and that's loving God. A couple of months ago, I was reminded of this and how simple this can be in a very powerful way. And it was a Sunday morning. I was due to lead kids worship with Connect, which is one of our groups out there. And I'm sure they're having a brilliant time. And I woke up, though, that morning completely lacking enthusiasm for kids and worship. I just didn't have the energy to stand up there and be fun. Now, as an experienced teacher, I thought at this point, you know what, I'm going to wing it. And I thought, what we'll do is we'll get the kids to write their own songs. Now, why I thought that was winging it, I have no idea, because it's a lot easier to stand up there with a guitar and make a fool of yourself than get kids to do stuff. But my expectations were so low, and I was just kind of wasn't really expecting much. But actually what happened was something quite special and was really powerful. Because the children, what they produced was brilliant. And in amongst some crazy lyrics at times and some slightly dodgy rhyming, there was just simple reflections of their love to God. Why was I surprised? They love God. They love God and don't have the same inhibitions that I have. What I initially thought was a cop-out and lack of enthusiasm, God worked through. Because he worked through the children, because they love God. Well beyond my expectations. We don't need to pass a test to love God. We don't need experience or age to love God. This thing is for everybody. The passage in Corinthians, love people, the passage in Corinthians moves on to explain this message of reconciliation, whereby Paul is explaining to the church in Corinth what Christ's death on the cross truly meant. That Christ identified himself with the human sin so that sinners might be restored to their family relationship with God. This reconciliation turns our enemies into friends. In verse 18, it goes on to say, all of this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Gave us the ministry of reconciliation. We are called to be reconcilers in these middle times. To love one another and to bring to be bringers of peace. In verse 19, it further enforces this. And Paul describes how God has committed to us the message of reconciliation. Furthermore, to love others, therefore, is almost like a natural consequence of our loving God. And that as we're filled with God's Holy Spirit and his compassion, we will naturally love others. To love other people is an extension of our love to God. And that will look different for us at different times in our lives. I mentioned Alison a few weeks back when Alison was talking about those pockets of kingdom breaking through into our world. She challenged us to be attentive to what God is calling us to at this time. That reminded me of when David last year spoke about prayer, and he spoke about tending to our gardens and looking after the garden that God has given us for the moment. For me, that was really helpful because I was struggling with just busyness of a family and a busy job and just everything going on. And I realized that God was calling me to pray and to love a small group of people at that time. We love everybody, but to really focus in on that small group of people. Now, there will be times where we're probably full of love and compassion and enthusiasm for large groups of people as we seek God's kingdom to come. But realistically, most of the time for all of us, it's only going to be a small group of people. And I think that's why small groups and our growth groups are so important, for us to establish meaningful and purposeful relationships that bring about change and reconciliation. Staying in the story involves loving other people. Finally, love and action. What a privilege it is to be part of this story. Isn't it great how Paul describes us as Christ's ambassadors? That we are Christ's representatives at this stage of the story? That's a fantastic but also slightly terrifying title to be given. That through us, God will speak the message of reconciliation to the lost and sinners, just as we are constantly being reconciled ourselves. We often talk about love in action in practical ways, and I really love that stuff. Doing nice things for people to show God's love is brilliant. But I also feel God here is challenging us to not just do nice things, but then to speak up, to give the message of reconciliation, even when it's not wanted to be heard. I loved how in the model I've showed you on the screen earlier, and if you look on the back, it talks about knowing who I am and what I am for. We sang it this morning. I am who you say I am. Yeah, we should be confident in who we are. We should be confident in the authority that God has given us through the Holy Spirit. That as we go, we know that God's children, empowered by that Holy Spirit to proclaim the good news, to bind up the brokenhearted, to set captives free, release darkness from prisoners, to proclaim the Lord's favor, speak truth, joy, praise, and righteousness into the lives of those who are lost. Love God, love people, love in action, staying in the story. It's not surprising, is it, that as we love God, we're filled with this compassion for others. And as we love others, we want to do things about it and to challenge and to speak the truth. Through the Holy Spirit, becoming Christ's ambassadors. Two weeks ago, Naomi and I, and Lottie and Judah, we visited some close friends of ours in Gloucester. Now, we love going to see these friends, not only because we love them as a family, but because we always get challenged and inspired about how we are trying to stay in the story. These guys love God so much, but their love for people is what really hits us most. Over the last 10 years, they've been serving their small community in Gloucester, and often in practical ways, but in a way to draw people close to God. From what started as an open invite to breakfast for their neighbours on their street, they now have a thriving community coffee shop that hosts and runs loads of events all through the week. And a church full of new Christians just wanting to know more. Whilst these guys are very special to us, there's nothing significantly special about them, other than their obedience to the pockets that God is calling them to. Each time we visit, we hear about some of the great stuff that's happened, but also they share with us the truth, the really tough stuff. And 2 weeks ago when we joined them, they had a small group session in their house, and we just kind of joined them for that small group session. And here we met a couple in their late 50s, who this morning I'm going to call them Sandra and Keith. And as we sat down to eat, because they share a meal as part of their group, Sandra and Keith started to share in their thick West Country accents. It was lovely. And Sandra and Keith shared just a snippet about their life and their testimony. Growing up in care, spending time in Borstal Young Offenders Institute. Abusive marriages, anger issues, and they were crippled with debt. By the time Sandra had applied for a job at this community coffee shop, they had no family support. Their own marriage was a mess, and Keith was suicidal. What has followed over the last 2-3 years has been pretty ugly at times. But with the support of that community, obediently showing God's love, they've saved their marriage. They're out of debt. And they've changed their lives around. Afterwards, after Sandra and Keith had gone, we sat down, we were just talking with our friends, and we were reflecting on the journey that they'd been on with them. And because on previous visits, they'd told us about some of the things that were going on and how it was difficult to build relationships with people. And yet, God continues to pursue these people, and our friends just keep saying yes, staying in the story. This is what we're tasked to do. We are tasked to continue living in this story well. What you and I are tasked to do as followers of Jesus is to take up our part in that story, to move it along from where we picked it up, and to do the best we can to move it to its resolution at the end. We can't change it so it looks nothing like the original. We can't take the story of Scripture and change it so much that it doesn't look like it anymore. We can't have a version of Christianity or the church that looks nothing like the Bible. But what we do is we live in the story in the present and carry it on and go, we know how this ends. We know what God is going to do. Sandra and Keith still have loads of challenges ahead of them. They've still got loads to learn about the Bible, but that will come with time. But boy, do they love God, and that love is changing them and their lives to love others and become ambassadors of God. Where did their journey start? With Sandra applying for a job in a new community coffee shop that had opened up. However, what has changed Sandra and Keith is the love of people, introducing them to Jesus, speaking truth into their lives, even when it got really difficult, ugly, and wasn't well received. Just like Jesus did, staying in the story. As a church, we're entering into a really exciting new era with Vineyard House, and we'll hear more about that next week if you stay after church. And this brings about so many opportunities for us to love the community, to love people, to put love into action. But bricks and mortar is not going to change people's lives. Bricks and mortar doesn't keep us in the story. It's through prayerful obedience to God that we as a people will stay in that story and become ambassadors of God. Finally, we live in turbulent and uncertain times. And as this year we continue to dig deeper into this book, the Bible, we will continue to ask God, what do you want us to do to fill that gap, to stay in the story? Whilst we do not have an exact script to follow, in Jesus, we have a synopsis. We have an overview. To love God, to love people, and to put love into action. Amen. We've got about 15 minutes before we need to pick up the kids. So we're going to just allow God to speak to us and do a little bit of time in ministry. David and Alison, do you want to come up? I was just thinking, when we were praying about this and thinking about this morning, I just was asking God, what do you want to say other than what I've said? You know, what messages have you got for people? And for me, one of the key things was just about there were no entry requirements into this at all. To love God, you just got to love God. You don't need to have qualifications, experience, or anything like that. And so if you disqualify yourself from any of this, I'd love to pray with you at the end, because God is saying, come as you are. David.
Why don't you just pray that for us now?
Yeah. Heavenly Father, we come with you with all our baggage and all of our difficulties, and we say, come and use us. Come and help us to love God, to love you better. Come and help us to love people and to put that love in action. Lord, will you just, wherever we're at, just help us to stay in that story, Father. Help us to live in this world where it's difficult and messy at times, in a way that just follows you.